Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. On today's show, we are talking about Brazilian television with Monocle's resident Brazilian and soap opera fanatic, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. He'll be talking me through the storylines and cliffhangers gripping currently the country, including the controversial Verdades Secretas, or Secret Truths, and biblical drama, The Ten Commandments. That and more all ahead here on The Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the programme, Fernando.
Hello, Tom. Pleasure to be here to talk about Brazilian TV.
Exactly. It's great to be talking to you. Maybe let's get a bit of an overview of the scene when it comes to the Brazilian soaps then, before we talk about the specific ones we're going to consider. You know, I think people have a stereotypical idea about what Brazilian soaps are. They're a bit frivolous. They're maybe a little ridiculous. They're very colourful. I mean, is that still really what makes up the bread and butter of?
Well, some of them are, but I would say the most ridiculous ones are the earlier ones, which we're not going to talk about here. You know, the 6 p.m., the 7 p.m. ones. Because just so people know, in Brazil, usually you have one at 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 9 p.m., and now 11 p.m. also. But the 9 p.m. one, they do deal with very serious topics sometimes. Of course, there's the ridiculous side, you know, like, and if you're a villain, you're really mean. And if you're a heroine, you know, you're going to do only good things, you know. As probably, you know, I know you've seen some of the videos, for example. When they show like the main villain, it's like very heavy music, and you know, she has does this kind of a sexy evil face, and you know, of course, there is that as well.
You're certainly not left in much doubt as to how you're supposed to feel about the characters, from my very limited understanding. And obviously, I can't speak the language, so that is something of a barrier. But in terms of the more serious topics, then, Fernando, they're still dealt with though with a certain levity. You know, it's not exactly serious drama though.
You know, they have to exaggerate. They can't do too seriously because, remember, they're talking with the whole country, you know, and especially the 9 p.m. soap. And that's the problem. You know, we're going to talk a little bit later about the main soap opera at the moment that is not doing very well, even though it's still the main show on Brazilian television in terms of numbers. But, and you know, and one of the problems is perhaps because it's not talking to the whole audience, because you're talking to the urban people in São Paulo, but also to the more conservative people in the countryside who might be evangelicals. And it's different, for example, when you go to the US, where you have so many sitcoms all over the place, you know, the audience is very much shared among the main channels. In Brazil, it's still global, it's still the powerhouse. So what global shows, basically, the whole of Brazil is watching. They have competition, though.
Well, we'll talk about that more in a minute. But I wanted to ask you finally just about the sort of backdrop. In terms of the sort of, you're talking about a social engagement almost with these soaps. And you know, is the sort of social agenda, I guess, driven by what people still see on television? Obviously, there's more media now. There's the internet. There's channels that come in from overseas. But is it still really about setting the agenda socially and politically almost? That's still done by these soaps?
Very much so. And, you know, and since the 70s, I would say, you know, when Brazil implemented the divorce law, it was first shown actually on a soap opera. And finally, there was a study saying that Brazil now have smaller families, thanks actually to soap operas, which showed smaller families.
I'm not
as well.
Surprised they have smaller families. Some of the tricks these people get up to.
Exactly.
Enough to convince you never to have kids in your entire life. Let's talk a little bit maybe about one of those shows, Babylonia. You've already alluded to it. This is in that 9 p.m. Slot, and it's doing okay, but not really that well by comparison. Why do you think it's having some problems, Babylonia?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of expectation about Babylonia. They have an excellent cast, you know, with the best Brazilian actors, you know, and I was expecting quite a lot of good things about Babylonia. And to be honest, I don't think it's a bad soap, but I do understand its problems. You know, it did cause a lot of controversy since the first week. The first episode did quite well, but then the audience really fell every day more, in a way. First of all, the soap opera is very dark, you know, it's very different because it's not really like a love story, which, you know, it's usually the base of any good soap. It's about revenge between two not very nice women, you know, and they're both villains in a way. And they were childhood friends, and, you know, one of them had an affair with the father of the other one. So it does talk even about pedophilia, you know, so, you know, and that's in the first week, you know.
So it's not pulling its punches right from the beginning.
And there was, of course, other things like we're going to talk a bit later about this lesbian couple in their 80s with two iconic Brazilian actresses. You know, the author went really heavy, and all the characters, they're very amoral, you know. There's not really a good guy, and the only good girl, she's very annoying, I have to say.
Okay. So there's nowhere to turn. Let's hear a little bit. You talked about your love of the great villains, and there's probably no finer villains on the screen anywhere in the world, but certainly not on Brazilian TV at the moment, than Beatrice, who's the big villain. Let's have a bit of a listen.
Só que às vezes a situação sai de controle. Você pode ser homem na cama, fora dela. Você é só um subalterno que vai passar a vida servindo a gente como eu.
Eu vim pedir por bem, mas eu faço qualquer coisa para conseguir esse dinheiro. Qualquer coisa.
Mas eu sempre encontro uma maneira de colocar as coisas nos eixos. Não faz bem para a saúde ficar no meu caminho.
So what kind of tricks is Beatrice talking about there? What does she get up to? What's her main
I love
mischief?
That woman. I love that woman. She's extremely sexy in a way. And it's funny because one of the things she said, you know, she was talking to one of her lovers that she kills, actually, after. She says, you can be a man in bed, but outside bed, you're my servant. You know, so she's really heavy-handed. And she said, nobody can go through my way, you know, I'm just going to smash them, you know. So, and she's really mean, actually. But it's funny because the other mean character is Inez. You know, they're rivals since the childhood. And Inez wants to, you know, she has this revenge story against Beatriz. And in fact, this week, this is an exclusive, okay, for all the international listeners. You know, it's interesting because, you know, she put Beatriz in a jail. She hired, you know, some gunman. And basically, she put her in a cell with a big snake. So she made Beatriz sleep with that snake, and just so she feel the fear. She doesn't want to kill Beatriz. She wants her to suffer.
These are some pretty tough cookies, aren't they?
It's very tough. So that's why perhaps, though, you know, imagine like, you know, the old granny, you know, like sitting down at 9 p.m. and seeing that, you know. And
it's a bit tricky, so, but...
I have to say, the authors did tone down a little bit because one of the characteristics of Beatriz, that she was a sexual predator. So she, in the first week, I think she had sex with 6 different men. That was a bit too much for the main soap opera. So now they found like a love affair for Beatriz. And now when she thinks about him, she forgets about her evil thoughts, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other controversial couples in this program, because we'll hear a little clip now of this. This is Estela, one of the other controversial characters. Let's take a listen.
Eu não me arrependo de nada do que fiz no passado. Estou acostumada a lutar pelo que eu acredito, contra o preconceito, contra a injustiça. Não foi fácil quando, há 35 anos, eu decidi abandonar meu marido para viver uma grande paixão. Ainda mais porque essa paixão se chama Teresa.
O nosso casamento é um ato político. Isso prova de que nós não nos intimidamos com preconceitos sobre sexo, sobre idade.
Now, Fernando, it's pretty obvious there how we're supposed to be feeling about the protagonist.
Yes.
You know, you compare that with Beatrice's music. It was all soft,
you heard the piano,
soft strings,
yeah.
A gentle piano. You know, it's quite fun. It is almost cartoonish, isn't it?
A little bit.
The way that they're almost caricatures.
They are, in a way. And can I just tell you something? Actually, I think you don't know that. Stella is Beatrice's mother. Shocking, no?
the father must have been a nasty piece of work.
Exactly.
That's all I can
say. And of course, you know, I think the author, one of the good things about Babylonia, it's an amazing couple, you know, this lesbian couple between Stella and Teresa, which are, you know, they're fantastic Brazilian actresses. They are, I think, around 85 each. Natalia Timberg and Fernanda Montenegro. And, you know, they're very much very important characters in that soap. They're not just kind of, oh, here's a cute lesbian couple for you. No, they're really the main, one of the main protagonists of the soap. But of course, it was a bit shocking. They kissed on the third episode. And usually, to be honest, before that, we just had one gay kiss, which I think we discussed here on Monaco 24. But it was just on the last episode of the soap. So when you had that at the third episode without, you know, there was no warning.
Fanfare.
Exactly. There was no fanfare. It was just, that's the way life is.
You can drink in some of these shocks for yourself. Babylon is on Monday to Saturday at 9 p.m. in that famous slot on Globo. And it will soon be exported, as I understand, to other countries across Latin America, Europe and Asia. Nowhere will be safe from the clutches of Beatriz. Let's move on, Fernando, to Verdades Secretas.
Another
I've
one of my
roughly
favorite. You've
roughly
done very well.
Pronounced that fairly well. This is a hit new soap on TV. I think you described this as Cinderella meets 50 Shades of Grey. Is that sort of basically what we're talking about?
Just to grab your attention. So basically, first of all, I have to say Verdade Secreta is the 11 p.m. soap, which is kind of a new slot for soap operas. Globo wants this slot, you know, to be more experimental, to be more explicit sometimes, talk about very polemic topics. And basically it tells the story of Angel, or Arlete, you know, they had to change her name. She wants to be a model, you know, she grew up in the countryside, and, you know, and then she managed to go to São Paulo, and, you know, she does get a job at the model agency of funny models. And the problem is, you know, they do something, what it's called in Brazil, the pink book, where the model does her work, her fashion work, but she also, you know, works as a prostitute to the main clients of the agency. This also creates some controversy in the fashion world, because people say, no, this doesn't exist. But then other models came out and say, well, she actually does. So basically, but this author is different from Gilberto Braga. He's a bit more moralist. So even though it's a very controversial soap, you know, you see the 16-year-old, you know, being a prostitute, and she, you know, you see the scenes with her clients, but then, you know, she's very sad, you know. I mean, she is a very tragic story, because and, you know, and they show other models. For example, one of them is becoming like a crack addict, and you can see the difference. You can see how she's losing so much weight, and, you know, she doesn't have a good relationship with her family. So even though there is this controversy, same as Babylonia, but there is a moralist.
It's a bit more hard-hitting, like, and so it's not necessarily played for laughs or entertainment.
No.
This is more of almost a dramatic study.
And then you might ask, why is it doing so well when Babylonia is not doing so well? I think the 11 p.m. Public is a different kind of public. I think, you know, if you're awake at 11 p.m., I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but yeah, you're expecting something more hard-hitting, you know,
different.
Something... yeah, maybe your old granny is not going to watch Verdade Secreta. So maybe she will.
Maybe she will. Who knows? They're full of surprises.
I'm being moralist.
The older
here.
Generation. And it's interesting, Fernando, as well, that the sort of difference in this different tone extends not just to the storylines and the performances, but also to the sort of soundtrack. The actual soundtrack is maybe a little bit different. We heard the sort of melodramatic soundtrack from Babylonia. Let's take a listen to a clip from this, from Verdade Secreta, which I think listeners will hear is quite a different dynamic.
Mas olha, no seu lugar, eu faria sem pestanejar.
Não. Eu não vou fazer. Imagina se minha avó descobre, meu namorado
ninguém,
descobre, minha mãe.
Saber.
Eu não vou, mas
ninguém
eu vou saber. Eu não vou gostar.
Calma,
não,
calma,
vou fazer.
Calma, volta pro salão. Volta pro salão, pensa.
Não,
calma,
não,
escuta aqui.
Não,
calma, que
não,
isso? Volta pro salão, pensa. Se você
fazer.
Não quiser fazer, você não faz. Não tem o menor problema.
There was a very dramatic scene, you know, where Fanny, you know, the owner of the model agency, she invites Angel to be part of the pink book. You know, of course, she grew up in the countryside. She refused to say, how can you do this to me? Of course, I'm not going to do it. But then, you know, she needs to pay, you know, her grandma is very sick as well. So she needs to pay, you know, so she changed her mind and you know, she ends up, you know, doing the pink book. And there's you did mention this cinematic thing. It is a very different... You know, when you look at 11 p.m. soap, it does look different from a 9 p.m. or 7 p.m. soap. You know, as you mentioned, the soundtrack, there's incredible scenes. For example, there's a scene where they are on a disco and it's basically 10 minutes long. So, and it's like nonstop and it's crazy. It's a bit psychedelic, you know, heavy electronic music. You would never see that on a 9 p.m.
Almost
soap.
More like a sort of a big screen staple.
Exactly.
With a long uninterrupted cut than the small screen.
Amazing cinematography as well, I have to say.
That's Verdades Secretas on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays at 11 p.m. on Globo. Fernando, time is short, but we absolutely cannot end the show without talking a little bit about the Ten Commandments. This is Record investing more and more in their soaps, I guess by way of competition to Globo. And this is Ten Commandments, a biblical show, which, you know, I don't know, some people have suggested it's Brazil's Game of Thrones. I've watched a few extracts. It doesn't quite remind me of Game of Thrones. I'm not quite sure what it reminds me of. Yeah. What do you make of this one?
Well, I'm not a fan, I have to say, but it's working. You know, let's remember, Brazil is, you know, is a Catholic country or evangelical. A lot of people read the Bible. It's surprising that only now we have our first biblical soap in a way. And of course, Record is the second main channel after Globo and is owned by Edir Macedo. He's the owner of the main Pentecostal church in Brazil. And, you know, it's doing very well. Maybe... That could be another reason why Babylonia is not doing so well. It plays at 8:30. Babylonia starts at 9. So, you know...
So it's kind of maybe stolen a bit of the audience, stolen the march.
Exactly.
If you like.
And it's very camp. Of course, you've seen the video. Of course, it's not the same quality as Game of Thrones, but they did invest a lot of money for record standards. But it's quite camp at the same time, you know? I think, well, we're going to listen to a scene of the soap and I'll tell you what's happening.
Você está farto de saber que sou apaixonado por Nefertari e se abrir mão desse amor foi pela nossa amizade. Mas tudo tem limite. O que corre aqui nas minhas veias é sangue quente, não água fria.
Não grita comigo!
Grito! Grito sim! Porque você custa entender? Enfia uma coisa na tua cabeça. Eu, Moisés, não quero mais chegar perto de Nefertari, entendeu? Muito menos para resolver os teus assuntos com ela. Quer saber? Eu acho ótimo.
Now, the only time I normally hear Brazilians getting that angry is when they're commentating on a football match, Fernando.
Yes.
But what exactly was getting them both so worked up there?
Well, that was basically Moses fighting with his brother Ramses, you know, for a love of Nefertiti. I think both of them are in love with Nefertiti, but apparently Ramses wants Nefertiti as well. And, you know, it's all about love in the end. And it's very camp. Have you seen the costumes?
I was quite taken. I mean, it looked like something that would have been a little out of date, even going back to sort of, you know, yeah. Richard Burton, Liz Taylor, Cleopatra era. It was a little bit like maybe extras from that kind of time. Like, what's that sort of mid-50s or so,
but
I'd
but
say.
Record, they're growing. I mean, before you can... But, I mean, I'm sure you can still see the difference between Record and Global, right, in terms of the technical and in terms of acting as well. But, you know, I'm not a fan, but, you know, it's a competition for Global. I think that could be healthy.
So a final thought, Fernando, on all of this. What do you think the soap future then in Brazil looks like? Will we see more of these, you know, maybe sort of religious themed programs? Will we see more competition for Globo? Or do you think that as the public adjusts and its perceptions adjust, we'll see people becoming maybe slightly more comfortable with some of these more daring or more experimental programs in those traditional slots?
I think things are changing already. You know, I think Globo, for example, they want to make soap operas a little bit shorter as well. You know, to be more similar to the American sitcoms, you know, where you know, they play for a shorter time as well. Because come on, it's every day is like 50 minutes of soap opera, and sometimes they have like 200 episodes. That's quite a lot. So for example, Babylon is only going to have 150. That's still a lot, but 50 less. I think it's the second or third shortest soap opera ever for Globo. So, you know, there's been some changes, you know, and now we have Record with their biblical soaps, and you have another channel, SBT, they're doing their soaps as well. They're actually horrible, but you know, it's, you know, they're doing their own product.
It's a rich marketplace.
It's a rich marketplace.
You don't have to like everything that's on it, Fernando.
Exactly. Well, I just give my honest opinion.
And very glad we are to hear it. Those are the views of Fernando Augusto Pacheco, fresh back from checking out all of the delights on offer on Brazilian television at the moment. Faye, thanks for joining us as always. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Our book reviewer will be Kathy Rensenbrink. But for now, goodbye from me. Thanks very much for listening.